Oh, the shirts aren't that bad.
Not a fan. Not
I like them. I actually might get one.
Not a fan at all.
Can I get one? I kind of like that.
Of course you do.
What? It's basic. I don't really know if I like
just like,
the way
like you, Dan.
I don't know if I like the way that Niskanen is looking at me right now, though. that's kind of creeping me out just a little bit. You need to settle down there, man.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, because we decided not to trade him this year. Coach Dan, what's going on,
hey.
Man? Hey, we decided not to trade you, okay? You're a restricted free agent.
Why was the... All right, sure, whatever. I don't really know where we're going with this one, so I'm just going to move past it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's just kill the comedy, Coach. Jeez,
trust me, it's already dead.
All right, well, let's talk about it. We got two new Capitals here. We have a new defenseman. We have a new offenseman. We've got... two guys that we've seen already, Curtis Glenn Cross, he was the latest pickup. He missed the game on Saturday, had to kind of sit out, and he showed up halfway through the game in the bleachers. We have Glenn Cross, and then Gleason, our new a new guy from Carolina, who got traded for Jack Hillen. What do you think of these pickups?
I thought they were both really good pickups. I think they overpaid a little bit for Glenn Cross and sending a second and a third to Calgary for him. It's weird to say, but like I liked it that the Gleason deal only cost Hillen in a fourth. I think that was a good deal, and it's kind of sad to see Jack Hillen go, but he's not really needed anymore. I like to pick up a Gleason. I think he's going to be great working with Green. They looked good in the game the other night against Columbus, and I think having Gleason out there, they said he's there to protect Green, but I think it's which to Green is almost like, isn't that kind of like a shot at his manliness, his manhood a little bit? Like, you need protection. No,
well, like,
I mean,
like we always talk about the fact that he easily gets injured, that he does have...
Well, he is targeted a little bit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's definitely targeted, but he does have a problem staying healthy. So having a big guy like that who, I don't really see this as a replacement for Jack Hillen. I think this is more of like a replacement for John Erskine almost, because you don't have that big guy.
He's way better than John Erskine.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying like John Erskine was a big defenseman who was out there, and he teamed up with Green for a good amount of time, and he was there to protect him. Maybe this is more of like a protection type of thing, the way that that Erskine used to be.
Yeah, I could see that, but I think Gleason's also a better player all around. So he brings more to the table than just hitting people. He's a steady defensive defenseman out there, not just to hit people, but also he's also out there to play a good game. He plays a steady game. It's solid. And you're sure you're a little more relaxed with him out there as opposed to Erskine, where you're just waiting for him to do something stupid. Moving over to Glenn Cross, I think they overpaid by a bit to get him, but I do like the addition of him. He played his first game in the win over Columbus. He was on the second line with Kuznetsov and Brouwer, which was good. You look good out there. Glenn Cross, he's got some speed. He's got some grit. You know, he's kind of like a Brouwer. Maybe not as much. He doesn't have quite the stick handling that Brouwer may have, but I think he's more physical than he is. So I like that line with Glenn Cross because that's from Brouwer. And that means Johansson looks like he's going to be settled on that first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. And then maybe things can change when they bring Burakovsky back up from Hershey. I don't think he's going to be down. Burakovsky, that is going to be down Hershey very long. I think they're just bringing him down there so that he could be on the playoff roster. They have the AHL has a certain point where you have to be in the minors to be on a team's playoff roster. And I think that was part of the reason that Burakovsky got sent down. So just in case, let's say the Caps go in the playoffs, they get knocked out or something happens. Burakovsky can still play for Hershey in their playoff run.
There's definitely a good chance that Burakovsky is down there for at least a little bit.
They want to get him playing.
Yeah. And given the fact that Lotta potentially is hurt after that last game, you could see Burakovsky come back up. Real quick, just I know we're talking about Glenn Cross right now, but I want to go back to Gleason real quick. Here's my question for you about him. given the fact that they picked up a sixth D-man for this team, obviously they weren't really happy what they were having come up from Hershey. We saw how bad of a game like Schilling had, showing that he really wasn't ready for the NHL level. Do you think this is a sign of the fact that maybe Schmitty and Orlov aren't ready to come back for a playoff push? Do you see this as kind of like a message to the fans and the team that both of those guys are going to be hurt for a while?
No, I think it's more the sign that you can't go into the playoffs with a question mark as to whether a player is going to be healthy or not. I think having a steady roster and giving these guys a couple of games, and maybe they end up down in Hershey during the playoff run. I mean, you're allowed a couple of emergency recalls. So in the end, if they go into the playoffs with just six defensemen and someone gets hurt, they can bring a guy up. But I think you don't want to have these questions going into the playoffs. And so that's why you bring in someone like Gleason. And then you have Orlov, if he gets healthy, and Schmidt, who's back playing for the Bears.
But he got hurt, right? I thought Schmidt got hurt last Sunday again down in Hershey.
I read he got recalled.
What? Oh, really?
Or maybe not. I don't know. But the point is, I don't know. Everyone expects him to be playing as much just because of the question marks. And going into a playoff run trying to get a better seed and then going and having a run in the playoffs, you don't want these question marks, especially on your defense. You want guys that are steady and going to be back there and playing every night. And that's why I think that these guys are – not that they missed their shot or anything, because they're definitely going to get one next season, because Gleason's going to be a free agent, I believe. Yeah, he's going to be a free agent, so that, you know, if they don't bring him back, that spot opens up again. But
yeah,
like I said, you want the question marks going into there, and so you want something steady for the playoffs. And so I like the addition of Gleason. I think Schmidt and Orlov's time will come. It just may not be here quite yet.
All right, so let's jump back over to Glenn Cross. I don't know. We've only seen him for one game. I'm sure he's got some, you know, butterflies he's got to worry about for that first game. He's got some, you know, just kind of settling in. So, of course, I don't think out of your first game you're going to see the guy, you know, on 100% on his game. But you said you liked him with Kuznetsov and Brouwer. Do you see him moving up to that top line with Ovi and Backe, or do you think that he's brought in to kind of be a second-line guy?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it depends on what happens with Johansson. If he doesn't fit in with Backstrom and Ovechkin, and they're not getting what they want from him there, they might give Glenn Cross a shot, and they might bring Burakovsky back up and give him a shot. And Glenn Cross could find himself on the third or even fourth line, depending on where they think he's fit. And I don't think bumping him back there is necessarily a shot at him in any case. If anything, he improves whatever line he's on, I think, to some extent. If he's on the fourth line, he improves them greatly. If he's on the first line, I think he'll go out there and play the game he needs to play it, and I think if anybody's on that line and has the skill set that Glenn Cross has, you're going to do well. And so I don't have a problem with him playing on the first. I would have liked a better player for that first line right wing spot. I definitely think that's going to be a big hole to fill going into the offseason. And that's something they're definitely going to have to look at, especially GM Brian McClellan, that he's going to have to go and find someone to play on that right wing spot, because I don't think it's Tom Wilson yet. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. We have to wait and see is that going to be Glenn Cross. I don't think Burakovsky's got the skill set that you want on that line. You want someone who's going to be more physical like a Mike Knuble and park his butt in front of the net. And that's just not Burakovsky's game. Burakovsky is destined to be on that second line with Kuznetsov and probably Wilson one day, which I think is going to be a very solid second line. And so they got to find someone that can come in and play that first line right wing spot. And, you know, I think that's definitely going to be a question going into the offseason. Maybe it's Glenn Cross, maybe it's not. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, so let's jump into these games here. Really, we've had three games since we talked last. One of them, just a real stinker of a game.
Yeah, it was.
Up against Carolina. I don't know where these guys were at that
night. They were not at the Verizon Center.
It was
wherever that game was played.
Yeah, I think it was down in Carolina, but what?
They weren't there either. I take it back. They were at the Verizon Center because they weren't in Carolina.
Yeah, that game, just a terrible game. I don't know what was going on with that team. I really have no excuses to make for them. It was just a terrible game. But luckily enough, the Capitals were able to come away with two wins, one against the Toronto Maple Leafs and then again against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's talk about the Blue Jackets game. That one was a hard-fought victory. It was kind of getting goony, kind of like it did in the second Penguins game. Like we said, Lotta's been hurt, and he's got an upper body injury. We don't really know what that is, but I've got to assume it's a concussion, given the hit that he got in Columbus. But
Jared Bull's a douche.
Yeah, big time.
Don't even get me okay, sorry. But the hit was bad, not only that, but then Bull goes and cross checks or just checks Tom Wilson, So Bull starts the fight, yet Wilson's the one that gets a 10-minute misconduct for that crap. What? Bull started, he should have gotten the instigator and ejected, but instead of doing that, the referees just gave him the penalty, which in the end then caused a lot of the other fights that went to happen because the players knew they could get away with that crap. The referees screwed up by not ejecting him in that game and showing the players that they weren't going to be allowed to get away with stuff like that. Instead, they were a little more lenient, and then the players got away with a lot of other BS, and then we saw, you know, 749 other fights.
There was a terrible officiated game, just absolutely terrible.
Pathetic.
I don't know. We've had a lot of these games this season. I don't know what the NHL is doing with their referees or what's going on, but obviously they're not doing their jobs correctly. They're not. Let's talk about that last minute Johansson penalty that he got for delay of game because his stick broke.
Well, he's an idiot.
I'm guessing that they're saying that he did it intentionally since there wasn't a timeout there and gave him a delay of game. But I didn't see that as a penalty. I don't think that he did that on purpose to delay the game. That made no sense to me.
Okay, so technically it's a penalty because it is delay of game if a player purposely breaks his stick to – because they didn't have a timeout. They had iced the puck. The guy's been out there forever. So in that case, you know, he's trying to get an opportunity to be – he wanted to go get a new stick, and apparently he was telling the referee, my stick is broken. Look at it. It's broken. I need to go get a new stick. But the guy kept saying, no, no, no. So I think he showed him, look, it's broken, and he broke it to show him. The problem is he never should have done that. I mean, Johansson's kind of in a tough spot because he can't play with a broken stick. So essentially they take the faceoff. He drops and has to run to the bench. So now – what is it? Columbus, I guess, had already pulled the goalie, so they have, what, a 6-on-3 until he can make his way back?
Right.
Or he just run off the ice. And so there's definitely a problem there in terms of what he's going to do. It kind of helped the Caps in the end because they could ice the puck without having to worry about an icing because they were on the penalty. But it definitely was a little nerve-wracking. But that game was just a giant cluster F of a mess in terms of officiating.
Yeah, it was really bad. Really bad.
Yeah. it was terrible.
Tom Wilson, though, I mean, he's definitely got the reputation of being a fighter. He's got the attention of every other team in the NHL. Like, if somebody wants to start, they go after Wilson and they get him in that penalty box. I'm worried that it's kind of, like, affecting his game a little bit, that he's becoming just a fighter, just a goon. Because I think the dude's definitely got some skill, but he is so involved with, you know, the violent part of the game. So I don't know what to really do about that. I think it's great that he sticks up for his other teammates. I mean, he kind of reminds me in that way of Matt Bradley. You know, Matt Bradley back in the day, he would stand up for every single one of his teammates and would take somebody down. But I'm hoping that the rest of his game, like we talked about last week, I hope it continues to develop so he becomes a top-line guy.
No, I agree. I think that he has the potential. We're just not seeing it anytime. You know, I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon. He had a nice goal. I mean, given the puck was just sitting there, you know, right in the crease, and all he had to do was tap it in. But he had a nice goal in that play where Chimera tried to cut in and cut across the goal, and it didn't work, and the puck was just sitting there. And Wilson was just like, all right, and put it in the net. So it's not really a question as to whether he has the knowledge. It's a matter of is he going to develop the skill set to play on one of the top two lines. And right now all we've seen from him is that he's – relatively solid defensively, and he's pretty good at punching people in the face. So, I mean, aside from that, you kind of have a question as to what is he bringing to the team besides that. And if all he ends up being is a guy who can punch people in the face and play relatively decent defensively, then he definitely was not worth that first-round pick that they took.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down the road, but hopefully he continues to become a better hockey player. I think he's a great addition to this team for now, and you know, he's a fun guy to watch on the ice. The other, you know, we already talked about the Carolina game. I don't really think there's anything else for us to really say about that. The Toronto game was a good game for the Capitals, 4-0. Always good to see that. That was on Sunday as well, and I was deep into House of Cards. I had one episode left, but I decided to stop, watch the Caps game, and then go back to House of Cards after that. So it was a fun game to watch there, and it seems as if we've got, what, I think 17 games left till the end of the season. The Capitals, the Capitals seem to be in a good space right now.
You know who's not in a good space?
Who's that?
Yevgeny Kuznetsov.
You're not impressed with what he's been doing?
Not lately. He keeps turning over the puck. I think he got too comfortable and he's trying to be too fancy. And players are doing a good job of just stealing the puck from him. I think Columbus, they got a goal in the game. was it Carolina or was it the it was a Pittsburgh game. They got a goal where they stripped the puck from Kuznetsov and they were able to go down and score.
Yeah.
And the same thing almost happened in the game against Columbus where they were able to strip the puck from him because he was trying to get too fancy with it. I think that's a problem. He's got to sort of take a step back and shore up a little bit of his game there to control the puck a little better, because he's going to be the second line center, and that's been a problem for this team since what they had Fedorov for the year or two. You know, if they want to go in the offseason looking for another second line center, they had last year. That's true. They had the second line center last year. But aside from those few years, they've been needing a second line center. And, you know, unless they want to go in the offseason looking for another one, because Kuznetsov's got to really solidify that spot a little better than he's been doing so far.
Yeah, I feel as if he's been pretty solid the last couple of weeks. But you were right. After that Penguins game, it seems as if his production's kind of fallen off a little bit. So hopefully he gets back to where he was. He started off the season pretty rocky. Kind of found his footing, I'd say, in like January. But he might be losing a little bit now. But hopefully, again, yeah, he continues to improve as well. And you know, I liked what I saw back in January and February from the guy. So hopefully he continues to get a little bit better that way.
Yeah, I mean, I have hope. I do think he's going to be the second line center for this team for a long time. But he's got to, for right now and for what this team needs going into the playoffs, they need someone who's, you can't make those mistakes in the playoffs and just turn a book because goals are so hard to come by. And wins are so hard to come by in the playoffs. And so you can't make those kind of mistakes. So he's got to, they still got 17 games for him to fix the mistakes that he's making.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Just Jared Bull being a douche. No, we'll find out how injured Lotta is. They didn't practice today, so hopefully we'll find out soon. And I was tweeting that Alex Pruitt said that the Capitals announced the signing of defenseman Tyler Lewington to a 3-year entry-level contract. Lewington was a 7th-round pick by the Caps back in 2013 and got quite a look during the preseason this past season. So apparently Trotz was a fan of him, and so the kid's going to be playing. He's going to get a tryout with the Bears. We'll see how long if he ends up playing down there. And then this kid be able to make a move on up and add to the defensive depth for the Capitals for the future.
All right, very cool. So that's good for him. Up next is Down on the Farm. But before we talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays, here is a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. John Dan Tractors. Tell me what's going on down on the farm.
That's not what they're called.
It is tonight. John Dan Tractors.
Only if I get some of the money those guys are making. Let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Binghamton, Albany, and Lehigh Valley. The Bears are currently 35-14-7, good for 77 points, which puts them first in the Eastern Conference.
All right. And you love Lehigh Valley. That's your favorite.
That's their favorite, apparently, because they play them all the time. The Bears play next on Friday on the road in Providence, Saturday on the road in Hartford, and then on Sunday they're back in the Giant Center in Hershey to take on Portland. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays also went 3-0 with wins over Orlando and back-to-back wins over Florida. Don't forget the Orlando Solar Bears. That's your favorite team.
The Solar Bears. Wait, so there's an Orlando team and a Florida team?
Well, there's a Tampa Bay team and a Florida team in the NHL.
Right. I still don't agree
with
that.
Dude, it's Florida. They got enough problems as it is.
Why do they get two hockey teams? They're Florida. Like, they don't need two hockey teams.
Dude, I don't know.
Like they got Orlando and they got Florida and Tampa. They got there's too much hockey down there. Screw it.
They have all that, and the DC, Maryland, Virginia doesn't.
Yeah, it's crap.
Right. Anyways, well, it could bring the ECHL back to Baltimore. Anyways, down in South Carolina, they are currently 31-18-7, good for 69 points, which puts them third in the East Division, 9 back of first place Reading. Who cares? The Stingrays play next on Friday at home against Gwinnett, Saturday on the road against Gwinnett, and then Sunday on the road
against Gwinnett. Oh, sorry.
No, dude, that's next weekend. I wasn't going to say anything, but since you brought it up, they play Gwinnett 3 days in a row.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous. Now, let's go back up to Hershey real quick, where Stephen Alexi was named captain of the Hershey Bears.
Yeah.
After Captain Dane Byers was put on the IR for the rest of the season earlier. What was it? Last month, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what's his name? Binky is a new captain of the Hershey Bears. Also,
great,
Chris
great
Connor.
Great choice for him, man. Good for him.
I agree. I think it's good. I think it means he's going to be staying there for a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's good for him. He seems like he's a good dude. In other Bears news, Chris Connor was named one of the CCM AHL Players of the Month. So congratulations to him. That's what's going on the farm.
All right, very cool. Good for Steven Oleksy. Congratulations, buddy. I'm glad that that you are the new captain of the Hershey Bears. And if anyone has forgotten, he told me personally once that he listens to What the Puck. So congratulations to him.
Awesome. Yes, I listened to it the other day.
Did you?
When it was tweeted, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
If he is continuing to support the show
as well.
If
he's still listening.
Yeah, if you're still listening, thank you very much, and congratulations, Steven Oleksy, captain. Getting that C on the chest. Wear that with pride, buddy. All right, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Thanks a lot, John Dan Tractors. Now, let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, we're going around the NHL. There was a big trade deadline last Monday. The Capitals made their moves, but there were plenty of other moves going on all over the place around the NHL. And hopefully, I mean, to just keep the show going, somebody was suspended or something, somebody got hit in the head or something like that. I'm sure Dan will tell us all about it. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, the trade deadline came and went on Monday at 3 p.m., and even while most of the more exciting trades were made before the deadline, which ruined everything for Monday, thanks, general managers, it certainly was a busy time for most of these guys over the past week. We're going to go real quick, the big trades, because I'm not going over all of them, because we'll be here until Friday.
Oh, we got time. There's a snowstorm coming.
That's true. Yeah, we're going to go over the big trades in no particular order. Columbus sent defenseman James Wisniewski in a third-round pick. Now, if I just say the pick and I don't say the year, odds are it's in 2015. Ah. You try writing all of this down. Columbus sent defenseman James Wisniewski in a third-round pick to Anaheim for forward and douchebag Rene Bork forward William Karlsson. He's not a douchebag, as far as I know. And a second-round pick. Boston sent forward Jordan Caron and a sixth-round pick to Colorado for forwards Maxime Talbot. And I didn't even know he was still playing in the NHL. And Paul Carey. Buffalo continued their tanking effort in sending forward Chris Stewart to Minnesota for a second-round pick in 2017, forwards Torrey Mitchell and Brian Flynn to Montreal for forward Jack Nevins, a seventh-round pick in 2016 and a fifth-round pick in 2016. Those are two separate deals. Goalie Michael Norveth was sent to the Islanders for goalie Chad Johnson, not Ocho Cinco, and a third-round pick in 2016, which, by the way, this means that Norveth and Halak, who were traded for one another last season, thanks McPhee, are now on the same team.
Wow.
That's kind of funny how that – a little weird how that worked out, although it looks like Norva's probably going to be the backup. And forward Brian Flynn, I don't know who that is, was sent to Montreal for a fifth-round pick in 2016. I'm not sure if Buffalo has anybody left in the locker room right now. Pittsburgh price kind of feels like the Caps right before the one lockout where they just sold everybody. Pittsburgh brought back defenseman Ben Lovejoy from Anaheim for defenseman Simone Dupre, as well as acquiring defenseman Ian Cole from St. Louis for defenseman Robert Bortuzzo and a seventh-round pick in 2016.
So Lovejoy was the guy in 24/7 whose face blew up?
Yes, I was wondering if you were going to remember that.
Okay.
His face blew up on the plane. That was pretty funny. And probably not good for him. St. Louis acquired forward Olli Jokinen from Toronto, who previously was traded to Toronto from Nashville, for forward Joachim Lindstrom and a conditional six-round pick in 2016. The Islanders acquired forward Tyler Kennedy from San Jose for a conditional third-round pick in 2016. Detroit made some big moves, bringing in defenseman Marek Zielicki from New Jersey for a third-round pick in 2016. Detroit also brought in forward Eric Cole as well. I wanted him for the Caps. They also brought in a third-round pick from Dallas for defenseman Matthias Backman, forward Jan-Mark, and a second-round pick. I butchered that name. Whatever. Moving on. St. Louis acquired defenseman Zbigniew Michalak. There's a first name. And a conditional third-round pick from Arizona for forward Maxim Letunov. Tampa Bay acquired defenseman Braden Coburn from Philly for defenseman Radko Gudas, as well as a first- and third-round pick. Tampa Bay also sent forward Brett Connolly to Boston for a second-round pick in both 2015 and 2016. The Rangers acquired defenseman Keith Yandle, defenseman Chris Summers, and a fourth-round pick from Arizona for forward Anthony Duclair, defenseman John Moore, and a first-round pick in 2016 and a fifth-round pick in 2015. Chicago acquired forward Antoine Vermette from Arizona. Has anybody left in Arizona either? They acquired Antoine Vermette for a first-round pick in 2015, as well as defenseman Klaas Dahlbeck. It sounds like a bad guy in a Die Hard film.
It really does.
Chicago also acquired defenseman Kimmo Timonen from Philly for a second-round pick in 2015 and a conditional fourth in 2016. Anaheim acquired your boy, Thomas Fleischmann.
Tomas!
For forward Danny Heatley and a third-round pick. And finally, and yes, that would be finally, in the best deal of the day, Minnesota acquired defenseman Jordan Leopold from Columbus for defenseman Justin Falk and a fifth-round pick. Now, this wasn't the best deal because necessarily the players involved, but because it was found out afterwards that Leopold's daughter had written a letter, I believe, to the Wild front office earlier in the season asking them to trade for her father. Turns out Leopold's family lives in Minnesota year-round. Now, word is Chuck Fletcher of the Wild and Jarmo Kekalainen of the Blue Jackets, the general managers, had not seen the letter until after the trade was done, but that's pretty awesome. The daughter wrote this nice long letter to the Wild, and then the dad ends up getting traded back to Minnesota so he can be with his family. And the letter was all about how the dad was lonely in Columbus and stuff like that, and, you know, so I thought that was actually pretty nice for him.
Yeah, cool.
Even though the Caps actually wanted Jordan Leopold and made some inroads, I don't know what the wording in here is, to sort of see if they could bring him in for depth. But I don't know, that would be kind of a dumb trade, to be honest, for the Caps, just because they don't really need the depth. You have the guys in the minors, and as long as no one gets hurt, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Let's go on to some non-trade news. That'll be fun. The Islanders forward Matt Martin was suspended for one game for kneeing Dallas defenseman Trevor Daley. That's a dick move. Brent Sopel announced his retirement from the NHL last Friday. The 38-year-old defenseman spent 12 seasons in the NHL, winning a cup with Chicago in 2010. Sopel was playing for the Chicago Wolves of the AHL the season before retiring. He last played in the NHL during the 2010-2011 season. He played 730 games in regular season and playoffs, scoring 48 goals and 236 points. Colorado's Cody McLeod and Gabriel Landeskog were fined the most allowed under the NHL collective bargaining agreement after their actions at the end of their game against Minnesota on Saturday. McLeod left the bench legally with the intention of starting a fight. He took the faceoff, then immediately cross-checked Minnesota center Michael Granlund, then fought Charlie Coyle, so he got fined. Landeskog threw a punch while on the bench!
Oh my gosh!
At Minnesota center Miku Koivu. Carolina agreed to a two-year extension with forward Jay McClement. I didn't even know he was playing there, worth a reported total of $2.4 million. The Rangers agreed to a four-year extension with forward Mats Zuccarello. It's Mats with an S. Zuccarello, worth a reported total of $18 million, and Columbus agreed to a three-year extension with forward Cam Atkinson, worth a reported total of $10.5 million. ESPN, yeah, the network that doesn't care about hockey, has some reason been awarded the exclusive rights, United States rights, to the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. This includes all games during the tournament, which will appear on ESPN and ESPN2. And finally, in what could have been the greatest story ever,
oh boy,
Florida goalie Roberto Luongo was injured on Tuesday in their game against Toronto. That's not what makes it great. Just wait. In came backup goalie Al Montoya, who then also got injured.
Uh-oh.
Florida then was prepared to either put center Derek McKenzie or goalie coach Rob Tallis, who is a former NHL goalie, in net.
What?
Before Luongo went and messed the whole thing up by coming back in.
Oh, man.
People were going crazy on Twitter. I wanted Jágr to go in net personally. I thought that would have been the funniest thing. People were making Van Damme jokes because of sudden death. It was amazing. But yeah, that's the news from the past week.
That's intriguing. Who do you think from the Capitals would go in net if our two guys went down? Because I mean, of course this guy would never get the okay to do it, but Ovi has put on Holpe's pads and mask a couple times last season.
No, they're not putting him in net.
Of course they're not, but like you remember seeing those pictures. Infatuated with the pads and everything. And
he lost his damn mind.
Yeah, I don't know. But who do you think on the Capitals they would put in? DJ Stretch?
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess they could put Brett Leonhardt in. He's the Caps. He's one of their coaches. He's on the coaching staff somewhere.
He runs the projector and the video, right?
Yes, well, I don't think that's his only job. He's not like the AV club in high school.
Man, if that was a job, I would sign up for that immediately. I'd be great at that.
I'd just hit play. Got it. Done my job. I'm the best. No, I think he'd be – if it had to be a player, though, I think you'd put a forward just because you only have six defensemen, obviously. So.
Right. They were looking pretty thin up against Columbus.
You know, I went to Jay Beagle. If Lotta's out – yeah, they were because Lotta got hurt. Wilson got –
he was in the box.
17 minutes of penalties.
Yeah, Chimmer was in the box. Fair was in the box.
That was that point. But I meant Fair blocked a shot with his ankle, so he was out for a little bit, but he was fine.
Yeah.
Or appeared to be fine. Because he played the rest of the game. Honestly, I would put probably Jason Chimera.
You think Chimera would be a good goalie?
Well, I think because he doesn't take away... No, I don't think he'd be a good goalie. He's not a goalie.
Well, like in an emergency situation.
I think he... Yeah, because I think he... You don't... how do I put this? With him out, you lose the least from the rest of your team. Like, you put Ovechkin in goal, you're going to lose a lot of your scoring. Same with Backstrom, anyone else in the top six. You take away... I don't think Wilson... I don't think they want to put him in that situation to risk an injury. I think you don't put Beagle there because then you're going to lose a great faceoff guy. You could also put Michael Lotta if he's playing, just because I don't know if he's going to be playing anytime soon, but you could put him in. So, yeah, Lotta or Chimera. I don't think you're going to put anyone on the third line because you don't want to mess up your top checking line. So, yeah, definitely I would say Lotta or Chimera.
I might say Wilson just for the sheer fact if DJ Stretch, of course, was not available.
If someone gets in his crease, they're in a lot of trouble.
They're in a lot of trouble, and he's a bigger dude. He's a tall guy, so he would take up more than net. I mean, at that point, if you're not a trained goalie, you're just trying to make yourself bigger, you know?
I think, if anything, the team probably has someone in mind.
Mitch Korn?
I don't know about that one. But I know I think they probably have a player in mind of someone who they probably know would be the guy. My guess is all teams sort of have that like thing in the back of their mind just in case the situation happens.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. If you want to continue the conversation, you can always talk to Dan or I. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. If you ever want any bobblehead information, you can definitely head on over there. I had an article come out a couple of weeks ago regarding Mike Green, and I was hoping to have a new one out soon, but with the way the trading deadline went, I might push it back until closer to the summer just because it would have made more sense then. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon... What about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts, videos, and photos that we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. Also, go like Brando Cash Entertainment on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Also, like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. And like the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, whenever we have any sort of news, you guys will be the first to know. If you like us and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Now, we do the show completely for free. You guys download it, stream it, or listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. All we ask in return is to just spread the word about the show because, listen, next week is episode 100 for us.
Yeah!
100 episodes of a podcast. That means we've given you guys probably over 100 hours of entertainment here, 100 hours of What the Puck news. We've given you draft specials. We've given you fan fest specials. We've had, we've had Adam Vingan, who's going off to greener pastures on the show. But we're very, very proud of the fact that we've reached 100. So many podcasts. I mean, there's a gajillion podcasts out there now, and so many of them just, kind of quit after a few weeks. But we've been going strong, and we've never asked you guys for money. We've never asked you to do a Kickstarter. We've never asked you to do anything. Again, Coach Dan wants the money. He's all in it for the money.
Give me some money. I'm fine with it.
But what we're asking is for you guys to spread the word about What the Puck, okay? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Be proud and say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until Coach Dan and I talk again for that special 100 episode of What the Puck, we got 3 games to watch, plenty of hockey on TV. On Thursday, March 5th, the Capitals are at home up against the Minnesota Wild. Oh, yeah, you betcha. The Minnesota Wild coming to town. That game is at 7 o'clock. That's on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, March 7th, the Capitals back at home at Verizon Center at the phone booth up against the Sabres. That game is at 7 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, March 11th, it's Wednesday night, rivalry night. The Capitals still in D.C. What a homestand these guys got. 2 more after this, but the Capitals are welcoming the New York Rangers to town. That game is at 8 o'clock, and that will be on the NBC Sports Network. Now, Capitals-Rangers, that's definitely probably going to be a preview of a good chance you'll see them in the playoffs. There's such a big history there between the Capitals and the Rangers, especially in the playoffs. But we were talking in between segments here about the fact that Lundqvist is going to be out 10 to 14 days. Do you think this is going to help the Capitals secure a win up against the Rangers, or are they just as strong even without the King in net?
Well, I'm pretty sure with him out, they're still winning most of their games. So I don't think it's going to make a difference one way or the other, to be honest. I think they just have to – they got to show up like they did against Toronto and Columbus and not have one of those games like they did against Pittsburgh and Carolina.
That's going to be key. The Capitals, they're pretty much right in their own destiny right now, and they got to show up every single game. But the game up against the Rangers, I got to imagine that's going to be a big one. I'm sure the Rangers have that one circled on their calendar when the schedule got made. And it's a Wednesday night rivalry night, so it's a national televised game. So Capitals got to bring their A game, just like they should for the rest of the season. We don't have many games left, guys, so make sure you're helping us out. You're tuning in. You're listening to every single show we got coming up. The Capitals are on the way to the playoffs. Let's hope that they still make it. It's looking good right now, but you know, let's hope that they don't hit a skid or anything like that. Wild, Sabres, Rangers should be a good group of games until we talk again. So I think, you know, look at all these games coming up. We got three at home next week, two more after that, all of those in D.C. The Capitals are settling in. The new guys, I don't know if they're chilling at the hotels, you know, got the mini bar going, but you know Ovi's probably inviting them over to play some FIFA and check out his Dynamo Moscow jersey. But anyway... He loves that thing. He's got it lit up professionally in his house. Follow him on Instagram, Coach. Jeez, come on. But anyway, any of those games you're going to, Wild, Sabres, Rangers, chant it loud, chant it proud, and everybody say, let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
It's going to be one of those kind of nights. Where I just haven't used my voice a lot in the last, 2 days. It's going to be a lot of...
Columbus sent defenseman James Wisniewski in a third-round pick to Columbus. Oh, that's not right. Oh, man. I messed up. Hold on.
God, you're so unprofessional.
That was so good up until that. What the hell did Wisniewski come from? This is what happens when the dog is Wisniewski.
Don't blame the dog.
No, she was literally sitting... right in front of me while I'm trying to write my notes. Hey, this is radio. You can't go like this because then Brandon doesn't know what you're talking about.
This is not radio. This is podcast. Get it right.
Shut up, dude. Whatever. Podcast rate. No, you're not staying in here, dog. Last time you went, run.
Anywhere you are social on the show. Let people know I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to the. this is gonna take a while to get out.
this is one of those nights.
One of those nights where every word is shabbily do 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 do. Shabbanaba. Okay.